Sarah.
So, yeah, Sarah can't barely crack a smile right now because we have caught her in her mid-week facial day.
You know, I tried rescheduling that shit for the show since we changed our recording dates. I tried rescheduling my facial, but when I tried, it threw my whole week off. And I was like, nope, I gotta, they're gonna have to deal with me with a face mask on for the recording. That's just the way it's gonna be.
She looked like a mom chasing Dina around the house, talking about, didn't I tell you to go clean that stuff up with all that on her face on her face? And she got the little head wrap on there, and her hair is tied up. And she got the V-neck t-shirt on. It looked like a boy's t-shirt on.
Not the
Actually,
V-neck.
it's one of Leisha's, Miss Leisha's shirts.
Oh, I love it.
Not all white women is always the wrong answer.
Take that to the bank. And also, don't forget your skincare.
Welcome to the weekly show about art, politics, and pop culture from a phenomenally female perspective.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Shantae.
I'm Eliane, and this is Unapologetically She.
Welcome back, ladies. Welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Unapologetically She. Oh, it's been a week, y'all. It's been a week. We are still standing. That's all I can say. We're here. We are here, and we are glad you are here with us. So, what has been going on this week, ladies?
Well, I don't know about y'all, but I'm sitting right now. Y'all may be standing, but my ass is sitting right now.
Girl, we all sit in, and it's International Women's Day. Happy International Women's Day to some of y'all women that actually is not a bunch of fucking piece of shit. But happy International.
Heyo.
I gotta keep keeping it real. They say, what Dave Chappelle say? I always keep it real. And then she always got beat up. But no, but I'm keeping it real because seriously, yeah.
So what's been going on? I feel like there's some stories behind these
Oh
looks right
man.
now.
Y'all, I had my own episode of Law and Order happening in my neighborhood last night.
Ooh, do tell.
I came home from work and I went to go out onto my patio. There was nothing going on when I got home from work, but I went outside to go on my patio to have a cigarette and I see this police SUV. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? So then I go out further on my patio and I see three more police cars down the road. And they're all parked on there. They've all got their lights on. There's some cops standing in the road. And of course, I'm like, okay, I've got Puerto Rican neighbors and I've got Black neighbors. So I'm out there with my phone, taking pictures, making
Ready, getting
sure,
ready.
getting ready, make sure they're not fucking with my neighbors. But they're all standing out there. One cop car leaves, and I'm like, okay, they're gonna clear out. But then he comes back. None of us knows what's going on. They keep talking to all these different neighbors. And then Mike gets home from the gym and runs into one of our neighbors and finds out that this one of our neighbors that's like diagonal from our house died of a drug overdose like 24 to 48 hours before, from what the
Yikes.
tech said. And then I guess from what the police were saying, they've been watching the house because they suspected her of selling, of dealing. And I'm like, you've got babies right next door to you, in the house next to you. My baby and my family is diagonally to you. We've got families on this block, and your bitch ass is out here selling fucking drugs.
Damn, karma be working faster than a motherfucker.
I know, and people
Shit,
were like,
word.
oh, I feel so sorry for her. Oh, that must be so sad. And I'm
No,
like,
she shouldn't have been motherfucking dealing drugs in the motherfucking first place or
thank
getting high on her supply.
you.
Like,
Thank
when you're a drug dealer,
you.
you're not supposed to get high on your motherfucking supply.
That's the number one commandment. Just come on now.
Right? And I'm sorry, I'm not going to feel sad for somebody that was dealing in a neighborhood with my fucking kid around and other fucking kids around.
Word.
Damn.
That's my drama. That's my week so far. What about you, ladies?
Well, my week, I just been, you know, searching and searching because I've been talking to my mom. I've been having like an epiphany, a spiritual epiphany. I've been talking with my mom. I talk to my mother every night, people. Yes, I talk to my mom every night because, like, she always say, you live alone. I just want to know if you was okay, Shante, because I know, because, you know, I go through a lot of things. So, like, I was just talking on the phone, and I had a pretty decent day today. You know, I just been searching for work. So, like, you know, things are going to come in the atmosphere, and I'm not going to talk about where I've been searching for work because it's none of your motherfucking business, but I have been searching for work, and so, like, I am going to get something. So I'm not on social media all day, and I wasn't really on a date because I was just, like, just fumbling through my resume and everything. My resume is tailored, so I don't need no resume help. So I just been doing that and just trying to, you know, not trying to worry about my bank account because I know God's got me. Amen.
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 What about you, Ms. Rodriguez?
Oh, I am just trying to make it to the end of the week. I'm trying to make it to Friday.
You will.
It's a struggle. I'm really tired. There's a lot of stuff going on at work. It's very draining. So I'm just trying to, you know, hold it together. I need to get to the end of this school year. You know what I mean? I need to survive this school year.
It's been rough for kids and teachers. And, you know, these parents need to understand, like, teachers go through it just like how your kids go through it, and you need to give them some grace and sympathy, because I remember teachers in my day will be looking at the parent like, what you say to me?
I wish for those days, you know, but let's go move on to some fun things. Like
after a week like this, we need a drink.
After a week like that, we really need a drink. And this week I needed to get away. And so I chose a drink that makes me think of vacation. It just feels like a vacation drink. So it's called the Malibu Sunset, a Malibu Sunset. You have coconut rum, pineapple juice, orange juice, grenadine, some maraschino cherries and ice. And you mix it all together. And you feel like you're at the beach, which is where I would really love to be right now. So listeners, please pause, go make this delicious tropical drink, and then come back and join us to have fun and kiki and release the stress of this week. Because I can't even, all right? I cannot even anymore.
I cannot. That's what I was just going to say. I cannot.
A bitch is done. Like, done. So let's have a fun burning question. I promise I won't make you talk about your sexual escapades this time. You know there will be a next time. Okay. So, what was the best birthday you've ever had? And why? Who wants to go first?
I guess I'll go first,
okay,
right?
Okay, go, Shante.
I'm always the daring one. My adult birthdays was okay, but I think my best birthday at 5 was the best. Besides the clown at my birthday party, because I remember that
year. Not the clowns.
That year, it was 1991, and It was already out. Like, the movie It came out the year before. So it came on TV that, you know, when stuff, it takes a minute to come on cable. I saw the movie and I was like, what the fuck? I was just like, and then the clown came and I cried because I thought about the movie It.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
I was
no.
But other than that, I had 2 cakes for my birthday. I had a regular cake and an ice cream cake. And it was Minnie Mouse on my ice cream cake. And that shit was the bomb. And it was in the community room. My mom was already on a tenant association. And I was sitting on her lap. I had my hair done. I had my dress. I was cute. I was 5. And it was the springtime, of course. It was, that's when we actually had a spring, right? So it was nice and warm. So that was the best. Even on my adult life, my birthday was calm, but I really didn't get the chance of going, because sometimes I'll be working for my birthday since I was an adult. And I'm just like, nah. So this year I decided to do something. I probably will do something fun. Don't know what I'm doing, but my best birthday when I was 5.
I love it. Even with the clowns.
I got nothing. I can't really think of one that stands out, because I go out every year. Like, I go out every year.
Okay, what you mean by going out? What you be doing?
Like,
it's my day. I do what I want. So I go all out, and that's my day.
It's right after Valentine's Day, just to let y'all know, her birthday.
The day after. Yup. No, I don't really have one that stands out. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'd say probably around the same age then, like 5, just because I can remember like the friends that I grew up with and my cousins, and like the last time that I can remember my mom putting, like, being able to put a party together for me for my birthday. And we had it, like, one of our family friends owned a pizza franchise where we were living in Barstow in Southern California. And we went to his pizza place. It was a Straw Hat Pizza. And that's where we had my party. And that's what I remember. I remember, because that's, like, my grandma, my grandpa. Like, that's the last party that I can remember that everybody and all my little friends that I grew up with, like, were able to put a party together. So I'd say the same thing.
Oh, that was cute, Sarah. You had a pizza party for your birthday.
I love it.
I have a picture, right? And I have a picture of it with my mom, too, where she's got that 80s really tight curly perm and the 80s makeup and the bright-ass geometric multicolored shirt.
Oh, man.
I think that picture of my birthday is at my mom's house, because my mom, that's when she finally got a perm. I don't know why she got a perm.
What's with the perm?
I mean, a relaxer. Excuse me, a relaxer. Because my mom,
the 80s.
Yep. Yeah. She got it in the late 80s, and then in the 90s, I'm like, yeah. She was still beautiful then. That's when her nails were painted red.
Hey.
What about you, Miss Elian?
You know, I'm trying to pick a particular one from my childhood. And I can't remember if it was like 8 or 9. It might have been my 10th birthday, actually. My mom got me this really cute outfit that I was like so excited to wear. It was like a tank top. It was loose and the armholes were really big. And underneath it was a little like tube top.
Aww.
I thought I was the shit. I was like, oh, check me out with my little crop top, tube top combo. I thought I was the shit. Yeah, 10 years old. And she made me a cake, and it was like a 2-layer cake, but it was homemade and it was fucking delicious. Yeah, it was awesome. And I got to wear my cute little outfit, and that's all I really cared about.
She made that 2-layer cake by herself?
Yeah, yeah. For me. And it was pink and white. It was, yeah.
That's she spent hours making that damn cake.
Yeah, she did. I appreciated it too. I still remember that cake. I love it. I love that. That was a nice little trip down memory lane. Ah, I love it. Well, that was a nice good start to the show. Sarah, you're going to take us right on into Shot and Chaser today.
Yes, I am. So for those who are just joining us, for any of our new listeners, we have this section coming up called Shot and Chaser. And what we do is we talk about whatever topic we've picked for the week. We don't know what anyone else is going to talk about. And then directly after, we all throw in our opinions and our thoughts on it. And that's our chaser. So we will get started with this week's Shot and Chaser with Elian.
Well, I kind of hate to bring down the mood a little bit, but I think I'm about to bring down the mood a little bit. There's something that's, I guess it's because it's hitting a little bit close to home. And we're not talking about it enough. And I see it happening more and more. So I thought it'd be a good time to talk about this. And it's teacher burnout. You know, more and more teachers have been quitting than in previous years. The statistics are kind of alarming. Now we're not only dealing with teacher shortages, because it's already hard to keep good teachers in the classroom because of the conditions that they have to deal with. Then you add, you know, the pandemic and everything that came with it. And at least 8 states that, you know, they did a study, and more teachers than usual are quitting than before. And you have to think about all the reasons why. And it's easy to blame COVID. It's very easy to say, oh, the pandemic, and it's because of the pandemic. I disagree. I don't think it's because of the pandemic. I think the pandemic kind of brought things to the surface that were already there and put it in our face. But it did not cause these things. The fact that teachers who are, for the most part, in the majority of our states, have to have a master's degree. So they are master's degree educated professionals. And we make less money than other master's degree earning professionals. That's not because of COVID. That is something that has always been happening. So we have the pay that does not match our educational background. Also, the amount of unpaid hours that we work. Nothing bothers me more than when people say, oh, it's so nice because you have all this time off. You're off during the summer. You get out at 3. You have your weekends off, and there's a couple of weeks off for Christmas and this and that. Okay, fine. Sure, that's true. But we are not adding up the hours that we work at home completely unpaid. I was trying to add it up because somebody asked me, like, you know, how many hours do you actually think you put in extra a week? It's way more than 10 extra hours a week. It's probably closer to 20 extra hours a week that I spend at home after work hours working and feeling like I'm doing all this work. I'm working for hours until I fall asleep, but I still can't catch up. The expectations from administration are exorbitant. They are just implausible. They want you to make miracles happen while you're juggling knives. You know what I mean? Well, juggle knives and also breathe fire and also, you know, walk the tightrope. Oh, but smile while you're doing it. Don't you dare, you know, have an attitude, because then that's a problem, right? The students, I've been teaching 15 years. The students now are less motivated. They are less respectful of authority. They don't give a fuck. They literally will look at you and you tell them to do something. They're like, whatever. And you're like, where is this coming from? And then you meet their parents. And those students who are that way, that, guess what? Their parents are that way. And they're like, you can't talk to my kid. You can't tell my kid nothing. And so we have a cycle of bad behavior that is only really getting addressed by the teacher. No support from admin, no support from the parent, rinse and repeat. Oh, but also make sure that they all ace the state exams and can read on grade level. Well, let me do that too. So I just think it's something we don't think about because it's only affecting teachers, but no, it's not. It's affecting the students too. We all vibe off of each other. We're all sitting in the classrooms together. We spend more time with these kids from September to June than some of their parents. We're with them all day long. And we are all feeling the stress. And so it's not good. If the teacher is stressed out and burnt out, guess who else is going to be stressed out and burned out? The students. And I just feel like students and teachers are on their own two islands off somewhere. And administration, the policymakers, and everyone else is on the mainland just watching us float away and doing nothing to help. So that was my rant. I apologize for that. But no, you I feel like to. It's something we don't talk about.
No, you need to. I'm not a teacher and I'm not a parent. I worked in after school. So I dealt with that shit for 5 years. I can imagine 15 years. God bless you. And with the kids acting up, their parents, I always say the fucking parents. I applaud Sarah. Why reason why, Sarah, I applaud you every time when you're like, you're a good mom, you're a good mom? Because you pay attention to your child. You know your child. These parents don't know their fucking kids. And they don't know what kind of holy fucking hell they probably give Ilian or any other adult figure. Like, if I was to disrespect a teacher as my teacher sometimes, I not had the best teachers, but if I was disrespecting a teacher, my mother and my father would have went the fuck off. Well, they have gone the fuck off on me on four, and we'll do it right in front of the fucking teacher. Mm-hmm. That's old school. These parents are my age, must be, Ilian, or maybe a little older. Probably the oldest, probably younger. 50.
Maybe younger. I mean,
maybe younger. But you know what? Those were the fucking ones that was acting the fuck up in school, that was giving head on the staircase, let's be real, smoking weed in the staircase, smoking outside, cutting school. So, of course, they had no respect for authority. Shit, they was probably kicked out of their house at a certain age because they were fucking acting and running amok in the street. So, of course, their kid is going to be the product. It's sad, but the kid is a product of that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, kids are products of their environment. And I want to make clear that I love my students, and the majority of them are not in that way. And the majority of the parents are, okay, I don't want to say majority of the parents, but a good chunk of the parents are not that way. But when you add those few parents and those few students that are that way, and you add it to the other mountain of things that teachers have to do, it's like a breaking point. Like, you can't take it anymore.
Well, and parents need to stop. It's like, we responsible parents understand that teachers are spending the majority of their weekdays with our kids, right? It's not childcare, parents. Your children are in school to learn. Teachers are not childcare. So get that out of the way. But what parents need to understand, I think, is that it's not your fucking job to be raising our kids. That's our job. And it's our job to be present in the classrooms with our teachers discussing our kids so we can reinforce what the teachers are teaching our kids at home and taking responsibility for our kids and stop laying it all at the feet of fucking teachers.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
So, that's just my thoughts on it. Shantae, ma'am, what do you have for us this week for your shot?
Well, they call me the politics girl, even though my name is not politics girl. I always throw shade to her.
You're so much better.
I don't like her.
You're not politics girl. You're better.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you so much. So, y'all know President Biden basically is going to be running for re-election. He just got to make the official announcement. And everybody be like, we ain't going to make the announcement. Shut the fuck up. So we're in, you know, 2023. It may not be a big election year, even though there's some states, you know, having elections, state elections, the statewide elections. It's the presidential primary season. Besides congressional races, including the senatorial races, it's presidential primary season, because, you know, next year it's a big election.
People got to get off of that. Not a big election year. Every election cycle is a big election cycle.
Say it again, Sarah.
Every election cycle is a big election cycle.
Thank you very much. That's why I put the quotation, not a big election cycle, when it really is. So, Marianne Deborah Wilson, aka Crystal's Columbus.
Crystal's Columbus.
Because she, listen, I took that from Too Raw, Too Real. That was from him. Because she's always Crystal Columbusing everything. So, she's running for office. And she is Crystal Columbusing Bernard Sanders' policies.
Of course.
This woman had the audacity to have an interview on TV. Everybody interviewing her all the time. And she was like, it's not about, so-and-so. It's, I'm running on policy. I'm running what's wrong with Washington, all this bullshit. Basically, the Bernie talking points, Crystal Columbus. And then she was asked, are you going to, be voted in the primary? She's like, absolutely. And do you want the president to debate you? He should debate me. Time out. Mm-hmm. No, the fuck he doesn't, because if he debates you, he's going to demolish you. Everybody thinks Joe Biden is a weak debater. He's actually a good debater when it's one-on-one, and he debates on policy, and he debates not just on domestic policy, but geopolitics too, because mm-hmm. the man has a lot of years with foreign policy. He served on the Senate Intel Committee for years. So compared to Marianne Williamson with her books, this man actually did the fucking work. Whether you agree with his stances on certain things or not, this man is intelligent and he is cleaning up the country with our vice president. I repeat that. This man and the vice president is cleaning up the country, not just, the domestic stuff, but the foreign stuff, our fucking reputation, because our reputation mm-hmm. was fucked for years. So this woman, who is also upset, blaming the DNC for rigging the primary, and is mad that South Carolina is first, my mom's home state, my aunt, who still fucking lived there, because my mom lives up here, but my aunts that live down near, not saying, they should not vote first because, the state doesn't, vote for the president. When it comes to the presidential primary, especially the Democratic ones, that state delivered for the current mm-hmm. president. So I don't know what you're talking about, because when it comes to South Carolina Democratic presidential primaries, it determines whether that person moves on in advance to the actual nomination. So Marianne Williamson needs to shut the fuck up. And then she's like, people in New Hampshire are upset. Why the fuck they upset? They're the most whitest state. Anything above Massachusetts is white as hell. I went to school in Massachusetts, and Massachusetts was just starting to get diverse as I was up there, because only in Boston there was black people. Black people started scattering, by the mid-2000s, because they were just in Boston, Dorchester, Mattapan, and Roxbury. So Hyde Park isn't when you fucking made it. That's all I'm saying. So Marianne Williamson. Oh, it's another thing that she did with Karine Jean-Pierre. Mm. How she basically made a video and tried to corner her, because Karine Jean-Pierre said, I don't know her aura. Basically, because they asked how she felt about her running, she said, I don't know what her aura is, but they're not basically worried about it. She's like, basically not worried about it.
I don't have a crystal ball. I don't have a magic eight ball.
I don't know what her aura is, pretty much, because and the reason why she said it, because everybody compared her to a crystal ball, because she even fucking said it her motherfucking self. And now she made a video saying I don't admit it myself, blah 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 blah. So Marianne Williamson, you had all that smoke for Karine, but you didn't have the smoke for the people, the Bernie-crats, the former Bernie-crats that basically yelled at you and said you're unserious, and had it on the bottom saying you're unserious from your progressive cult. But you have the nerve to come for the black woman who basically said, I don't have a magic ball. One little, and it was comical. Bitch, get the fuck out of here.
She had less than 1% in the polls during the last presidential primaries. Where the fuck does she think she's going to be gaining more percentage points than President Biden?
I think she's trying to take a page from the Bernie handbook, and that's just run for stuff so you can make money off of that. But mm-hmm. You're never going to fucking win, B. You're not going to win.
And I, you know what? You're right. And she knows she's not going to win, but she
can. It's a grift.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. She can continue the fucking grift.
She continued to grip. She could continue whatever new book. I don't give a fuck. But when it comes, keep Black people's name out your motherfucking mouth, okay? Because you don't know shit, all right? You're not smart. You're not smart. You don't know politics. And you're rude as hell. And you don't. You had all that smoke for her, but you couldn't have all the smoke for the Bernie people that saying you're unserious. They she think you're even, dumb.
She doesn't know. I mean, not like she doesn't know politics. She doesn't even know fucking science. Like, she is complete, like you said, unserious. Completely fucking unserious.
And an anti-vaxxer.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah, fuck that bitch. Sorry, not sorry.
So that was my take on Marianne Deborah Wilson. If you don't like it, you can kiss my ass. I don't like her.
Oh, Sarah's going to close us out. Shot Jason.
I am. And I also have a not so happy topic. So we haven't covered this recently. But I wanted to talk about the anti-drag and the anti-trans bills that are coming through the country right now. So Tennessee just became the first state to outright ban drag shows in public spaces. And Tennessee Governor Bill Lee signed the bill within hours of it passing the state Senate. Didn't even wait the 10 days or whatever that state's law is. He did it within hours. Anti-drag legislation has been introduced in at least 14 other states. You've got Arizona. It's all the usual suspects. Arizona, Arkansas, Idaho, Kansas, Kentucky, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Texas, West Virginia. I want to know what Democrat, conservative Democrat Joe Manchin has to say about the anti-trans, anti-drag bills going on in his state. Speak up, sir. Speak up, sir. You're supposed to be part of this party. The bills all have similar language to Tennessee's laws, new law, which prohibits, quote, adult cabaret performances in public spaces where minors could watch. And adult cabaret is defined as adult-oriented performances that include male or female impersonation. So not even adult acts, just people dressed in male or female impersonation. Those found violating the law would face misdemeanor charges punishable by a fine up to $2,500 and or a year in prison on the first offense. And then for any further violations would be felony charges up to 6 years in prison. Like people are taking their kids to like nighttime drag shows with cocktails. I mean, come the fuck on. The Tennessee ACLU responded, "We are concerned that government officials could easily abuse this law to censor people based on their own subjective viewpoints of what they deem appropriate, chilling protected free speech and sending a message to LGBTQ Tennesseans that they are not welcome in our state." Valid. But on top of that, the United States has a history of banning drag and policing gender expression. So whether you're trans, whether you're drag, because let's be clear, drag queens are not trans necessarily. They are drag queens for anyone listening. But the US has a history of banning drag and policing gender expression going back as far as 150 years. So Tennessee's bill was passed alongside separate legislation that bans transgender minors in Tennessee from receiving gender-affirming care like puberty blockers, hormones, and surgery, which should be between trans youth, their parents, their doctor. In fact, New York State only recently repealed our own anti-trans and anti-drag law, Walking While Trans. Was the name of the colloquial name of the law. That was just repealed in 2021. And that was a law that was used by police to pick up trans people and drag queens under the guise of quote unquote prostitution. So It's a fucking problem. It is a fucking problem. And our kids are in danger. And our LGBTQ plus family is in danger. Drag queens are in danger. And I'm fucking pissed.
Honestly, to tell you, because before I left my job was doing drag story hour. And there was some people that was trying to protest. But I was like, why are they protesting? They just reading fucking books to kids. Because I was explaining to my mom, because my mom's like, oh, your former job has drag story hour. She's like, yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of LGBTQ kids, mom. And she was like, yeah, I see that. Because she said, even when you were younger, there were a lot, but they wasn't trans when I was going to school. They was just LGBTQ. Plus, now there's actual trans kids that's going to school, that's using the bathroom, taking the hormones, doing X, Y, and Z. I mean, and honestly, it's such a drag story hour. It's just a man or a woman. Because when you say drag story hour, it could be a drag king or a drag queen. I don't get Republicans. And then they use Christianity, which pisses me off because Jesus would never. Okay. Mm-mm. That's why I get so upset, because I had to question my own faith, and I was like, mom, I was just like, well, Jesus never did. It's like, no, like, I don't know why people equating the Bible to their own fucking ideology. But then again, I blame Ronald Reagan. This is why I have no mercy when he died. I was just like, okay. And it was just like, and it was no disrespect, because it's just like, you can't equate religious beliefs, which Jesus will never do, to your just say, like, you don't fuck with them. And that's the case. Don't go to the fucking show. Honestly, and I think they're afraid because they actually like the show. Who to say they like drag queens too? Or drag kings?
I mean, here's the thing. How many times do we take children to watch a performance with people in costume? Like, it's the same shit, B.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Get a grip.
Yeah.
This is just another tentacle of, you know, that monster that is evangelicalism, that is trying to take a hold on the fucking world. And the way that it's twisted, like that conservative. Listen, they're always going to twist religion into what helps them control the masses. And that's what it's really about.
And I can't wait to God strike them down.
The karma will be real. You know, they're it will happen, you know?
Because Jesus would not like that. Jesus is turning in wherever he is in the kingdom. Because that shit, that's the shit that be making me mad with Republicans. Don't fuck with religion. Leave it alone.
And there's not a damn thing in the Bible about drag queens. So let's just fucking leave it alone, people. There's leave it alone.
And like, and on top of it, just leave the fucking religion out of law.
Yeah, there you go. Separation of church and state. Remember that? No, of course not.
You know, stay the, you know, keep the churches out of the fucking state. Keep your fucking noses out of our medical stuff. Keep your fucking noses out of our personal lives. Keep your fucking noses out of our fucking bedrooms and our doctor's offices. Just mind your fucking business and leave people alone.
I can hear Sarah saying that in real time, out in the street. Mind your fucking business.
That part. Oh, man. I actually, I wanted to add something because I got so lost in talking about my topic before. I had a whole thing planned. I had all this material, all these statistics, but I do want to say that the Biden administration has been working to address teacher mental health. Okay. There is actually a bipartisan bill. I was surprised it was bipartisan, that was introduced earlier this year. It's called the Supporting the Mental Health of Educators and Staff Act. The representatives who introduced it, Bonamici, who's Democrat from Oregon, Fitzpatrick, a Republican from Pennsylvania, Wild, a Democrat from Pennsylvania, the three of them introduced this bill together. Listen to this. According to a survey by the RAND Corporation, nearly three quarters of teachers and 85% of principals said they were experiencing frequent job-related stress, compared with only a third of other working adults. Three-fourths to a third.
I believe that's insane.
So,
I believe that with all the shit that you guys have to deal with every single day, I believe that.
So I really hope this bill gains some traction. It would allow the Secretary of Education to identify and share, you know, standards-based practices to help improve mental health, prevent suicide, which was a scary thing that I was even like, I was like, wow, that didn't even dawn on me, the fact that we'd have to address that. Establish federally funded programs to promote mental health among the education workforce, et cetera, et cetera. So I just did want to bring up that our administration and some with some bipartisan support are trying to address this.
What's the bill number so people can contact their representatives?
The bill number. You know HR, what? I don't have the bill number right here.
I think it's HR something. You can always look it up on congress.gov and put it in.
I'll look that up and we'll put it on the socials, because I think this is something important that we really need to push. And I'm sorry, I'll get off my soapbox. Let's have some fun.
It's fine. And speaking of fun, we got our nominees for Bitch Ass and Badass of the Week. So you don't know, Bitch Ass is basically who's been a motherfucking asshole and yada yada. And Badass is basically who's just been killing it and rocking it. So starting with the Bitch Ass of the Week. So we have my nominee, Marianne Deborah Wilson, for trying to primary a sitting president, being a chaos agent. Basically, I think she's doing this more to attack our vice president. Not surprised, because she's a fucking hater and a fucking bigot and a racist. Mm-hmm. And basically coming after our press secretary too. How dare you, bitch? The first Black openly gay woman. How dare you?
Mm-hmm.
And a child of immigrants. Now,
boom.
Who is your nominee, starting with ER and Y? That's your initials. You're mute.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm here talking to myself, to the atmosphere. Okay, so my bitch ass nominee of this week is the corporation known as Walgreens.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck them. They caved, or let me bring that back. They did not cave to the conservative think tank. They've been donating money to it. So let's not even remove.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yes, yes, yes. Whoa. They are donors. And so they want to act like, oh, it's not my fault that in some states I can't sell birth control or abortifacient pills. Fuck you, Walgreens. You know damn well that these are approved, okay, by the FDA, and that you have no right to say you're not going to prescribe certain drugs that are FDA approved in your stores. So I will no longer be shopping at Walgreens. Fuck you very much.
I'm glad I don't. You know, my assemblyman is a pharmacist, so I see him.
There you go.
Listen, all I know is I go to CVS for my shit.
Yeah, I never really shop at Walgreens anyway, but like, I know for a fact I never will. I will never.
So that means that you can't fucking go to Duane Reade neither, because guess what? Duane Reade is part of Walgreens.
Man, listen.
They done fucked up.
So, Sarah, who's your nominee?
My nominee this week is the South Carolina State Legislature, because they are moving to make abortion a capital offense. They want to give the death penalty to people who have abortions, who have abortion health care. I don't need to say any more than that.
Gross. Yeah.
And this is exactly why people in South Carolina, and it's Black people, they vote too, but you know, this is why South Carolinians, and a daughter of a South Carolinian who told me this, she said, Shantae, now people down there, they stupid, Shantae. Half of them white people, they dumb. I was just like, Mama, you can't be saying stuff like that. But then again, some people don't vote in their best interest down there, and the state legislator down there just could do what the fuck they want to do. And that governor, Henry McAllister, whatever his name, he ain't no better. He's a piece of shit too. Mm-hmm. But I digress. Mm-hmm. So moving on to end on a sour, on a not sour note, but end on a happy, pleasant note. So badasses of the week. Mine says Karine Jean-Pierre, you know, the girl from Queens, on the good side of Queens, because she is from Queens. She's from New York. And yes, she is. And she was a badass for basically reading Marianne Deborah Williamson. Basically said what Sarah said. I can feel what she said. I have an eight
ball. Her aura.
Her aura.
I don't have a crystal ball or a magic eight ball.
That shit was so funny. It was so cute. And she did it. And it was just cute. It wasn't like she's horrible. No, she just basically said it in the most classiest way. And I loved it. I was just like, yes! Get him, Karine Jean-Pierre.
All the shade. All the shade.
So, Ms. Rodriguez, what is your, who's your nominee?
My badass of the week nominee this week is women, because it is International Women's Day, and I want to give props to all those badass bitches that are doing it right. And to whoever's not, I'm not talking about you. I don't know you.
Sarah.
I want to add that when we talk, at least for me, when I talk about women, I talk about anyone identifying as a woman.
Yeah, me too.
I assume that's for all of us, because come on, this is us and this is our fucking show. So yeah,
we don't respect Susan B. Anthony. That's who we don't respect.
Right there. So my nominee, I'm going to go full name like Chantel does. Niel Deidre Jamila Vivica Ivy.
That's a badass name.
And I am nominating her. She is the first Black woman head coach at Notre Dame. She's the first Black woman coach who was won the ACC Women's Basketball Coach of the Year and the first to win an ACC championship game.
Yes.
So,
congratulations.
Hats off to Ms. Ivy.
Notre Dame is actually doing the right thing. I'm proud of them.
I'm surprised. I am surprised that Notre Dame is doing the right
thing. That's what you said, Notre Dame. When you say Notre Dame, I look like
mm-hmm.
Notre Dame? Mm-hmm. You know?
But they did. They did the right thing. They did the damn thing. They hired Niel Ivy, and she's killing it. She is fucking killing it. So hats off to her.
So just to repeat for you all, you know, listeners in the background, for the bitch asses and baddest of the week. So the bitch ass nominees are Marianne Williamson, Walgreens, South Carolina State Legislator. And for the badass is Karine Jean-Pierre, women, and Neely Ivy.
I think it's Niel Ivy. It's either Neely or Niel Ivy.
Niel Ivy. So those are your nominees that will be posted on the socials after the episode. And that is what we do. So take it home, Elian.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us for another week, another episode of Unapologetically She. Please follow us on our social media at the Joyful She on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Spoutable. At the Joyful She, please leave a good review and a good rating. Otherwise, leave us the fuck alone. Don't come over here with no mess. Thank you very much.
If you can't be nice, keep your fucking mouth shut.
That's right. Just stay over there.
Okay. Mind your business.
We'll see you again next week. Bye, y'all.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Unapologetically She. I'm Sarah.
I'm Shantae.
I'm Elianne.
You can find us on all social media platforms at the Joyful She.
And it's because of listeners like you that we are able to share our thoughts on current events. Please support us on Patreon at the Joyful She.
We'll see you online.